We are back. In upcoming programs, possibly next week, we'll be joined by Norman Solomon and or Rhys Ehrlich, the authors of Target Iraq, currently a bestseller. I'd be happy to talk to these men about the media and about what is going on in Iraq. Norman Solomon is the executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. He's an associate of the media watch group FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Rhys Ehrlich started out as an investigative reporter with Ramparts Magazine, possibly working with Bill Turner, who's been on our show previously. He traveled to Iraq on assignment for Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the World Public Radio International, and is a producer of public radio special documentaries. All right, let's review some piling up current events and things that we haven't had a chance to address in our third and final segment today. One, which got quite a bit of publicity, the one science issue I want to address, was the allegation based on a computer program of light that's visible throughout the universe, that an average was obtained for the blended light to come up with a specific color, which, according to some rather poetic individuals, was the, quote, color of the universe, unquote. Well, my only comment to that is garbage in, garbage out. To me, this is like sitting down and averaging together Beethoven's Ninth Symphony to conclude that the average note is... Isn't that silly? Oh, a follow-up on last week's eclipse, lunar eclipse, which took place after the show. We hope you went out to look at that. It was pretty cool hanging there in the eastern sky, although it did seem to take its sweet time to get up above the haze. Quite interesting seeing part of the moon blood red and part of the moon looking normal. That's when it looked most bizarre, when it was part in shade and part out. Hope you saw it. We'll be talking about the media, I think, quite a bit next week, but I wanted to make passing mention to a very good guest editorial in the Sacramento News and Review on last week's edition by a Roger D. Smith, described as concerned citizen from Loomis, talking about the Federal Communications Commission's upcoming meeting that's going to perhaps relax rules on media ownership. Very good essay. I don't know if you saw this. You may want to go to the News and Review website and take a look at what Mr. Smith had to say. I just want to quote briefly. He said that the Powell plan, that's, of course, the Michael Powell, Secretary of State Colin Powell's son, who's currently heading the FCC, the Powell plan would eliminate all remaining media ownership rules. Today, those rules make it difficult for one company to own both a newspaper and a TV station serving the same community. Imagine Clear Channel owning the B or the Sacramento News and Review. That is something I think we should imagine and then talk about. Another article I want to do a follow-up on in the weeks to come here was in the News and Review, that same issue, about smart signs. Have you heard about this? If you're driving along the Capitol Freeway past Cal Expo, sensors in the sign will determine what you're listening to so they can tailor a commercial message for you personally. Does this strike you as a rather alarming invasion of privacy? They're touting in this article that there's all kinds of data we'll be able to extrapolate here. It's very cutting edge. That's a cutting edge I find highly alarming. Perhaps we can get Stephen T. Jones, who wrote the article, to come on the program and talk a little bit more about that. And a final issue on the media for today's program will be something I just was stunned at. Cleveland, Ohio, apparently decided to award a Freedom of Speech honor to Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Scalia, for his part, though, apparently seems a little hazy on the spirit of the First Amendment. Scalia barred television and radio reporters from the room during his remarks to receive the City Club of Cleveland's award, which honored him for his votes in rulings that struck down flag and cross-burning laws. Apparently, Scalia started his law career in Cleveland. He was chosen for the club's annual Citadel of Free Speech Award as a distinguished American who has contributed significantly to the preservation of the First Amendment. Upon notifying Scalia of the honor, the club was informed that the justice never allows TV or audio coverage of his frequent addresses. You gotta just love this guy. In fact, Mr. McMillan, I think we should give Antonin Scalia his own theme song. How about this one? I think we need some input from our Hollywood correspondent. So let's go to LA and have a little talk with our good friend David Rosenblum. David, what's new?
What's new? Oh, lots of stuff. Well, the big thing right now, Doug, is we have a new product for the U.S. market, and we are looking for shows to sponsor. Hint, hint.
Unfortunately, KDVS is commercial-free, David.
Too bad.
What is it?
Vitamin-enriched cigarettes, Doug.
You're kidding.
No. Organically grown hybrid tobacco. It's blended to be high in B vitamins and vitamins D and E and even K. Smokers say they feel energized after just a half a pack.
So it really delivers those needed nutrients, does it?
Well, people are glad to get nutrition while enjoying a pleasant smoke. It's a wonderful combination, uh-huh. Doug, and it's environmentally friendly.
Do you have some local work?
I do indeed have a new gig right here in River City. Uh-huh. Certain interests would like to see a biohazard lab built in the Sacramento area.
The biohazard level 4 laboratory to go here on the UCD campus.
Right.
You know, there are many people who doubt the wisdom of that, and there's quite a bit of grassroots opposition.
Oh, that's really sad.
Well, why sad? Many people think that a top-secret facility run by the folks who build hydrogen bombs might lack some merit.
They tell me it's got safeguards aplenty. Fake doors, complicated ventilation, spacesuits, waterless hand cleaner. It will be everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And bleach, 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 and more bleach. You know, germs hate bleach.
Well, David, this facility would go where I-80, which is the interstate connecting Northern California with the rest of the nation,
uh-huh.
meets Highway 113, the main county highway.
Yeah, yeah, and?
And it's near the University Airport's flight pattern.
If people want to argue against it, fine. My job is to make sure both sides get heard. That's the American way. And my company, Yimby Inc., is contracted to ensure this.
Yimby Inc.?
Well, you've heard of NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Of course.
Well, this is YIMBY. Yes, yes, in my backyard.
So you arrange for people to show up at council meetings to say they want tire-burning plants, belching smokestacks in their area.
Yes, or maybe a plant-to-bag bone meal from animal carcasses.
Uh-huh, I see.
A lot of folks are willing to advocate for industry. Just give them half a chance.
And a paycheck from your company.
Well, not everyone is a naysayer like you, Mr. Negative.
Well, I guess they won't say nay to bringing the world's most toxic known viruses, bacteria, and fungi into the local neighborhood.
Well, good fences make good neighbors.
Which is why some folks want to put it on a military base.
Some people will speak out for having it at the university. Trust me.
How do you find these folks?
Hey, I can't give away trade secrets here, but I can tell you they're all from Loco County.
You mean Yolo County?
Whatever. The point is, we certify that the people we hire are local. Wherever and whenever bodies are needed to show up.
And who has hired you for this little enterprise?
I can't divulge that. Just look for people who say, yes, yes, in my backyard. The proud people from Yimby Inc.
I see.
And remember, there are always two sides to every coin.
And by supplying one side, you'll keep a lot of coin.
Not bad. I like it.
We should, of course, point out that as we put the First Amendment into action, that Radio Parallax has no evidence that a public relations campaign to place a research facility into so-called biohazards has engaged in any untoward activities. And even if we did, the opinions expressed on this show do not represent those of KDVS, our supporters, or the University of California. I should mention that there really is a Danish company selling vitamin-fortified cigarettes. I saw this in The Week magazine. Says CEO Dagmar Tekla, our test smokers swore that after a few puffs, they began to feel energized and refreshed. We don't recommend that you smoke Vigor vitamin-enriched cigarettes. We're almost out of time, so as we wrap up the show, let's go to Washington, D.C. to have a word with our friend out there, Yuri Fleischman. Is it true that you're stepping down, sir?
Well, once again, you are confusing me with Ari Fleischer. Ari is stepping down, yes. I am not. In other words, the White House spokesman is leaving, but I will still be the spokesman for the spokesman, whoever that may be, since I am not going anywhere. See, it's simple.
Is it true that Justice Rehnquist is also stepping down next month to be replaced as Chief Justice by Antonin Mad Dog Scalia?
I do not know what Justice Rehnquist intends. I do not assume to talk for him, but I would not call Justice Scalia Mad Dog to his face if I were you.
Well, isn't Tony Scalia the president's favorite justice, a man who said he would rule for Bush over Gore even before he'd heard one word of legal argument?
Justice Scalia is well-liked, but the president looks favorably on many judges from many backgrounds, Doug.
Well, like who, for instance?
Well, while obtaining his MBA, the president used to enjoy Judge Wapner on occasion. And Judge Dredd is one of his favorite movies. So it isn't all Scalia, Scalia, Scalia.
What's up with William Dice Bennett?
Well, Bill Bennett is a private citizen, Douglas, so the White House has no official comment, except to deny that Vice President Cheney refers to Mr. Bennett as the Dice Man. He does not do that in private. I don't know where that started. It is totally false.
Well, William Bennett has spoken over the years for the GOP. He's talked on virtue and what's proper in people's personal behavior.
True. But instead of my trying to talk for him, why don't you just talk to him yourself?
All right. Can you arrange that?
Yeah. Call back in 15 seconds.
All right. While we're waiting, can we please have the Tony Scalia theme song, Mr. McMillan? Remember the ex-drug czar? The chain smoker who took up nicotine gum and set out to judge our use of mood-altering substances? William Bennett has authored books telling us that giving in to temptation was wrong. He has stressed that we must steel ourselves against vices. But Bennett, it turns out, is a high roller gambler. Newsweek reported that the GOP's moral crusader dropped $8 million in a decade, mostly on slots and video poker. Do we have him?
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Secretary.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, doing fine. Enjoying some relaxing wagering as we speak.
Well, interesting.
You can bet your bottom dollar I've never risked the milk money. I want to make that very clear from the top.
Well, $1.4 million losses in one trip would not be the milk money, no.
Gaming, you see, is a pastime I enjoy. Learning to hold them and when to fold them has a practical application. And 5 will get you 10 if you check the record, you'll see. I never attack gaming, never.
But isn't gaming or gambling a vice?
Well, if you lose more than you have, maybe.
But you're being somewhat hypocritical, are you not?
Oh, you can lay dollars to donuts. I am not.
Do you deny that compulsive gambling is a disease?
You do have to know when to walk away and when to run. But so long as one knows when to stop, it is acceptable.
Do you know when to stop?
Figuratively speaking, yes. I'm committed to my family over all else. This is very clear, and I'm not wavering from that position.
Did you ever ask Junior what he thinks of diverting funds from family holdings into one-armed bandits?
Hey, sometimes I win. Case in point, baby. Hey, turn these into $10 chips. Thanks. And I'm very careful, you know, to pay the IRS if and when I do win.
Well, we'd hope so.
Plus, a healthy portion for charity. I'll wager the media has conveniently skipped over that.
What sort of charity?
Well, it's not Gamblers Anonymous, if that's what you're hinting. As I say, I don't consider gaming a true vice.
Not like, say, easily obtainable divorce.
In my book, there is no comparison.
So, you're making books, sir, that divorce is something we need to make difficult.
Actions have consequences. People must learn this. For example, say I lose my entire stake on Red 17.
Uh-huh.
Just as an example. Bang, gone.
Yeah.
Do I walk away from the table without facing the consequences of my actions?
You tell me.
I don't. One cannot amble away without paying off a debt.
Well, that would be wrong.
You bet your bottom dollar it would. And you'd get your legs broken to boot. Have you seen the goons at the Bellagio?
No.
Oh, you will act in a virtuous manner there, let me tell you, fella. What? Would I like another Mai Tai? Is the Pope Catholic? Give me a double. And step on it. What was I saying?
I believe you were comparing losing in the marriage game to roulette.
Well, one learns lessons from losing. Valuable lessons, that is true.
Have you gotten your $8 million worth?
Sure, easily.
Mr. Secretary, you abhor TV violence.
Yeah.
Should young adults turn off the tube and make a beeline for the nearest Indian reservation?
Well, I think I'd start off with bingo at your local Catholic church. That's where I learned games of chance. But what a great thing gaming is for the Indian.
Do you think so?
Oh, you betcha. I've sampled bingo and poker and parlors all over this great nation, from Reno to Atlantic City. I'm delighted to see what keno, craps, and blackjack have done for Native Americans.
Well, casinos are booming. Is that good?
Well, look, let's look at history. Indians used to just lay about depressed. They got drunk on cheap firewater and bash each other on the head with the booze bottle. Now the red man has a serious wad. He can drive a Cadillac. That's a success story.
Well, what happened to Americans needing to set boundaries for our appetites?
Well, I will continue to push for that. I'm a guy who puts his money where his mouth is. But, you know, come on, a little action in Reno or Vegas, that's fine.
So the Strip is okay.
It's even money you've never even seen, the amazing rides and roller coasters they've slapped up all over Vegas. You can't find a more family-friendly environment, I'm telling you.
Really?
Serious family values, Douglas, with entertainment for all ages. And I'm not just saying that. I mean it.
How's the wagering going today, by the way?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Excuse me. Okay, baby needs a new pair of shoes. Oh! Hey, you! Bring me more blue chips. Come on!
Mr. Bennett, thanks so much for appearing on Radio Parallax.
Well, one learns in gaming that life has ups and downs. Keep getting up when you're down, and in the long haul, we're all winners.
Well, I thought in the long haul you were a cool 8 million down.
Oh! Look, Douglas, it's my money. If I need a bigger credit line, heck, I'll just write more books on how people should act responsible.
So your daughter's wedding fund isn't going to Jimmy the Weasel Fratiano?
No, in the long run, I think I've broken about even. I'm sure of it.
Nobody breaks even on slots in the long run, sir. That's impossible. And people who think they can, they're just not thinking.
Hey, look, people in classic casinos are not the ne'er-do-wells and deluded people that you think they are. They're not just seeking a quick fortune.
Is that so?
Odds are you'll meet solid citizens. Look, listen, I gotta run. The progressive jackpot at Caesars is near a million now, and I want to see the show.
Wayne Newton?
No, Kenny Rogers. I got the grandkids with me, and they just love Kenny.
No kidding.
I tell you, this is really a family place.
Well, good luck, William Bennett, getting even on your losses. You'll certainly need it and more.
Well, thank you. If I do say so, I am no long shot. Okay, maybe I've been dealt a few bad cards this week, but I'd still bet on me.
Well, why not? With all due respect, you bet on everything else. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Radio Parallax on 90.3 FM.
You gotta play the game, boy. You gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
We are out of time. Thank you to Ohio Congressman and presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich, and of course, as always, our good friends David Rosenblum, Uri Fleischman, and Secretary William Bennett. Stay tuned for Hometown Atrocities, Todd Urich's musical show to follow this. I am Douglas Everett. This is KDVS 90.3 FM, and you've been listening to Radio Parallax. We'll see you again next Thursday at 5 o'clock.
Knowing what to keep, 'cause every hand's a winner, and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know